Ministry leadership is hard. It can be exhausting and confusing and overwhelming, especially in times of great change like we're living in now. That's why we need to get up on the balcony, as Ronald Heifetz puts it. We need to learn to get a view from the top, see what's happening on the dance floor. That requires leadership skill, adaptive capacity, emotional health, and deep spiritual formation. I'm Marcus Watson, and my hope is that these quick conversations with Todd Bolsinger would help you both develop a healthy outer life of ministry leadership and a healthy inner life of faithful discipleship. Hey everyone, I'm here with Todd Bolsinger for another quick conversation for the long haul of leadership. And we are not going to look at a quote specifically today. We're actually going to talk about an article that Tom Rainer, church researcher, posted a month or so ago. He said that in the post-pandemic world, we need to rethink the way we categorize churches by average worship attendance. So that, you know, in the past, a small church, you know, anything under maybe 150 might have been considered a small church, or maybe under 100. But he said we need to change that now. He says that now we need to sort of recategorize a small church as any church that is from 1 to 50 people. And that includes, he says, Sunday school, so children in the children's ministry, kids in the youth ministry, everyone who's on the campus. If there's 50 people or under, you're a small church. 51 to 99, he says, should now be considered a mid-sized church. 100 to 249 is now a large church. That's kind of wild. And then 250 and above is now a very large church. These are, of course, these are just his way. This is his way of breaking it down. But okay, so let me turn to you, Todd. What do you think about this? This is pretty fascinating. Of course, size is relative. And he says relative to all the other churches, this is kind of where we're at now. What do you think about this?
Well, I think it does two things. One is it reminds us that we have a tendency just to default to bigger is better. Mm-hmm. Like more people is better. And I think one of the things we learned during the pandemic, during a day where we have had 20 to 30 years of focus on mega churches, is that during the pandemic, there was no evidence whatsoever that mega churches were any better missionally than small churches. Like we all struggled in the same way. And that so the question I want us to think about is not so much how big is the vineyard, but how much fruit are we producing?
Yes,
and are we being fruitful?
Right.
And I think sometimes I think of it like, you know, it used to be normal. I mean, Jim Gaffigan is my favorite comedian. He said it used to be normal for there to be big families. He said, he says, big families today are like waterbeds. They used to be everywhere and now they're just kind of weird. we live in a world where people don't assume a big family is better. Multiple kids and big families was better during maybe the more agricultural or rural day. Today we have smaller families and nobody says more kids and a bigger family is better than a small family. They're just different. And what I like about Tom's work is the categorization. Once we realize the categorization is not that bigger is better, it's saying different sized churches have different capacities and they also have different challenges and they need different kinds of leadership. So I think it's just a good report. It's a good clarifying thing that helps us recognize that we tend to be, especially pastors, we tend to be much more concerned about numbers and size and bigger is better. And yet the world, and especially many of our congregants would say, what we mostly want is healthy, fruitful, loving, caring, missionally active congregations that are making an impact in our community. And it doesn't matter how big it is or not.
Yeah, that's right. I think one of the other things it does is it helps us sort of put into perspective that we're not the only church, you know, that has declined over the last 10 or 20 years or even the last 3 years. We're in it together with all the other bodies of Christ, at least here in the West, you know, where we're in the same sort of situation. I always try to tell people when they start to get discouraged, hey, every church is declining, and I mean, with a few exceptions, and that's okay, right? Because we're not called to be big. We're called to be, as you were saying, we're called to be faithful, right? We're called to join God in God's mission with whatever gifts and skills and capacities that we have. And it's going to look different for a small church than it does for a big church, and there's no judgment or value placed on either one of those.
Yeah, actually, one of the parts, I pastored larger churches. They were my church was 1,500 members. So not a mega church, but larger. Yeah. I now attend two churches, one in two different locations because we split our time, that are both smaller than that. They're both in the a couple hundred. They'd be in the larger category here. Yeah. What's interesting is in both cases, I often think they have the right pastor. I don't think I could pastor this size of church well.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's my inability. Both these pastors do a much better job pastoring the two churches that I tend to attend, and that I'm part of, than I could do. It's a different skill set. And I think thinking of it as then allows us to really pay attention to, it's not about how big we are in some chart. It's about how transformative is our community in terms of the lives of people and the mission of God in our community. And I think this allows us to reset some things. One of the churches that I worked with last year, it had 2,000 members before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And when they basically, after the pandemic, they said, we have 500. Wow. The pastor said, we have a faithful 500. And then they had a decision to make. Do we just go forward with our 500 and start our mission? Or do we spend a lot of our energy trying to get back the 1,500 people who left?
Right.
And the ego would want to be a 2,000 member church.
Yeah.
But 500 faithful people, man, almost all of us would take that one, right? That's a pretty wonderful experience.
Now, interesting. One of the things you mentioned was then, right, that different sizes of churches do require different kinds of leadership. So one of the adaptive things there is learning to lead perhaps in a smaller scale than what you were previously experienced with, and have you seen that, like pastors having to relearn how to lead?
Well, one of the parts we talked about a lot about is when we work with larger churches, most of them were really good at solving problems with addition, add a staff, raise the budget, add a program. What happens when you no longer have the capacity to solve with addition? You start realizing that we're really not good at subtraction, which is the most difficult part of leadership. What are we not going to do? What are we going to stop doing? How are we going to make hard decisions? How are we going to discern?
Yeah.
If all you have to do is add, you don't have to develop spiritual discernment. Yeah. So some of us who have the capacity to mobilize lots of people and big teams might actually have a lot to learn from the pastor of the smaller church that has to always be asking, so what then, God, do you want us to do?
Yes.
Discernment comes out of that. Right. So it's a really good moment for us to rethink the whole notion of what does it mean to be blessed? What does it mean to be fruitful? What does it mean to be faithful in a changing world? And not just assume the paradigms of the past.
Yeah. Well, if anybody wants to check out this article, you can Google it. It's called The New Very Large Church. It's on churchanswers.com. I'll also put a link to it in the show notes, and you can check that out there. Anyway, really good stuff. Thanks for being here, Todd. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Well, thanks for listening to this quick conversation with Todd Bolsinger. If you find the Spiritual Life and Leadership podcast valuable, would you share it with someone you know? And would you also rate and review the podcast? That helps to make the podcast more findable for others. Again, thanks for listening, and I will see you next time here on Spiritual Life and Leadership.